Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Effen and Wendy Snyder. From time to time, we bring in our friend Rich Lankoff, attorney at law over at Bryce Downey and Lankoff LLC.
Attorney at law.
It sounds official, doesn't it?
Yes.
Rich, it sounds very official.
You have to add the Esquire to make it really sound
Esquire.
Cool.
All right. So legally, there's much going on that we want to discuss with you. If you wouldn't mind, I'd love to start with the Paul Manafort story. Is that good?
Yeah, Paul Manafort is in jail as we speak in Northern Virginia. A judge last week revoked his bail. He is awaiting trial, as you know, a couple of different trials, actually, for some of his business dealings, not to do with the Mueller probe on its face, but many people have connected that. And in fact, many people say that what Mueller is doing and what these trials are all about is trying to squeeze him to gain some leverage and maybe gain some admissions so he'll cooperate.
They want to flip
in the Russia probe. Correct. So, you know, this is about his business dealings. The judge last week revoked his bail because she said that there's a real risk of him tampering with witnesses, tampering with evidence. There's some evidence that he already has tried to do so, that he's tried to contact some witnesses in the underlying case, which, as you probably know, is not great. It's right. Not a good thing to do.
I didn't know that was illegal. I'm sorry. I don't have a very good handle on the law.
Yeah, tampering with witnesses, contacting witnesses is generally frowned upon in trial. So the judge said, you know, this is not grade school. I can't take away your phone. So she did the next best thing and put him in jail. Until now, he was at home under house arrest.
When you tamper with a witness, what is the procedure exactly? What would go on in a situation where you might tamper with a witness?
Well, you would, you know, the accusation in this case was that he was contacting witnesses that would provide evidence in his trial and try to influence them.
Yeah.
There was some evidence that he was going through lobbying firms and trying to discredit some of the witnesses and discuss what they knew about his dealings with Russian envoys in particular. And you just can't have that. Obviously, as you're preparing for trial, you can't have defendants talking to potential witnesses because there's the potential that they will try to alter their testimony and tamper with evidence.
Mm-hmm. Is that typically a jail sentence or is that something that a fine would normally be imposed?
No, that's a good question. Typically, you don't jail someone for this, but you know, because of the notoriety of this case and because who Manafort is and because of the resources at his disposal, remember this is someone who would spend, you know, $8,000 on a suit. The judge felt that this was an extraordinary circumstance that warranted revoking his bail. He was out on $10 million bail.
Well, you only pay 10% of that, so that becomes an affordable only $1 million bargain price.
Exactly. But, you know, the judge felt that this was an extreme situation that warranted putting him away until trial.
Yeah.
Now, can Donald Trump just pardon him if something goes awry and he's found guilty?
So that's, you know, the question that lots of folks have been discussing.
Because he's been pardoning up a storm, and do we know about Rod Blagojevich yet?
Yeah, we don't know yet.
I will feel so bad for Rod Blagojevich if after this has been brought up, all of a sudden Donald Trump says, nah, you know what? I rethought this one.
Yeah, on Friday on Legal Face Off on our podcast on WGN, we had his brother,
Rob,
on the show, and we asked him that question. You know, how devastating would it be to the family if you got their hopes up so high and President Trump did not commute their sentence? As is well known, he's not on good terms with the family, but he said, obviously, what we all know, that would be incredibly difficult. Back to your question about pardons, you know, lots of people have felt that Trump is sending out a signal to people who might testify in the Mueller probe and in these other trials that we will pardon you later on. So, you know,
stay
it's okay.
Stay with the program.
Absolutely. And just over the weekend, Giuliani, his private attorney, said that he didn't rule out a pardon. And, you know, legally, nor should he. I mean, the reality is that the Constitution provides Trump basically an unfettered opportunity to pardon people except for cases of impeachment. Everything else, he has the right to pardon. So when you ask Giuliani or Trump, will you rule out a pardon? The answer should be no, because that's what pardons are for. You might not like the fact that Manafort ultimately might be pardoned, but that is in reality completely within the purview of the president.
Go back just a little bit with the idea of him flipping, of Paul Manafort flipping. Is he, in your opinion, the most flippable character in this scenario?
No question, because he faces the greatest liability. He faces the most counts. And he faces the most jail time. You know, it's easy to be loyal to the president when you're sitting in your house and driving a Accord and Range Rovers. Right now, he's in jail. He's in, you know, a jail cell in a federal jail in Virginia. Yeah. I guarantee you, he's now a lot less comfortable than he was.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the idea of cooperating with Mueller in exchange for immunity or exchange for some other deal is a lot more attractive now that he's, you know, facing three square meals a day and
right.
he's in with the general population.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break and then more discussion with Rich Lenkoff. If you have any questions or comments, it's the same phone number, right?
I was just going to ask you that, but
I
yes.
I don't know if it is.
312-981-7200.
All right, give us a call or a text. We'll be back in just a minute. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
A whole lot of law. That's what we got with Rich Lenkoff right now, partner at Bryce Downey and Lenkoff. He's our show attorney. And it's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder. Rich, what did we want to talk about next? This James Comey thing?
Yeah, I mean, James Comey is obviously in the news. Last week, the Justice Department Inspector General Michael Horowitz released a report finally about the Hillary Clinton email investigation. That person and FBI Director Christopher Wray are testifying today before Congress about the contents of that report. The bottom line is the report determined that James Comey, the ex-FBI director, acted inappropriately in his communications with the media surrounding his findings. If you recall, before the election.
How many days? Like 6 days before the election
something? It was that week. He came out and said that he talked about the Hillary email investigation, and many, including Hillary, felt that turned the election in Trump's favor. Well, now the inspector general has concluded that while there was no partisan bias, the conclusion was that he acted inappropriately, violated FBI procedure.
Bad judgment,
all those things. Comey has come out and said, okay, I don't disagree with it. You know, Trump has obviously tweeted right away on it and has said that this completely exonerates him in the Russia collusion probe, by showing that there was bias in the FBI. One of the key parts of the report was that, this Peter Strzok, who's one of the high level, members of the FBI, who was also in the Mueller probe, was texting his relation, his partner, Lisa Page, and said that we can't allow this election to happen. We're going to stop it. So many have felt that that is an example of the underlying bias against Trump, because that person ultimately was in the Mueller probe. Now, he's no longer in there. When Mueller found out about these texts, he fired him. But Trump has, of course, said that this shows bias and, you know.
But he won. And why cry over spilled milk? That's what I don't understand.
I mean, in many ways, you know, to your point, what Comey did helped Trump win the election by questioning Hillary's judgment in the email scandal. So, but, you know, Trump is not, you know, is putting a spin on it, of course.
Can you think of a guy that's done a better job of making himself an enemy of both the Republicans and the Democrats than Comey?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Comey was, before this report was released, Comey was thought to be one of the key witnesses in the obstruction case that Mueller might bring against Trump, because, you know, right now there is no evidence. We don't know, but Trump is saying there's no evidence of collusion. But at the very least, many are saying that Mueller might show evidence of obstruction by Trump.
Right.
If Comey is your chief witness for obstruction, I think you're in real trouble, because he has no credibility anymore.
No. All right, let's talk about the legal battles going on over at Wrigley Field. A little closer to home.
Yeah, they're pretty much done. The Supreme Court last week decided to uphold the lower court's ruling, which declined to get into the dispute between the Cubs rooftop owners and Wrigley Field. If you recall, this has been going on for like 15 years. The Cubs had put up the screens initially, and then they put up the right field scoreboard.
And allegedly obstructed the view of those rooftops
that
had been there.
Exactly. The Ricketts family ended up buying all but two of the rooftops, and those two remaining rooftop owners decided to sue the Cubs, not for putting up the billboard or putting up the screen, but for violating an agreement between the club and the rooftop owners.
An unwritten agreement, right?
Oh, it was a written agreement.
Yeah.
It was the initial lawsuit ended up in the settlement agreement where the Cubs would allow the rooftops to continue in exchange for a percentage of revenue. What the rooftop owners said was that putting up this right field scoreboard, which they did in 2015, violated the terms of this written agreement. The Cubs said, actually, if you read the agreement, it says that if you get proper authorization by the government, then you could put up and do any alterations you want. And that was the key to the dispute. The rooftop owner said that that wasn't consistent with the agreement. The court said it was, and the Supreme Court declined to handle it. So that case is really now over.
But, Rich, couldn't you, if you were the Cubs, couldn't you make the argument, and maybe they did, that they're providing the entertainment without them? The people across the street, there's nothing to see.
No question.
Can you just make that argument?
For sure. And that's what the Cubs did. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, the Cubs were providing the content that the rooftop owners were using. Yeah. Without that content, there'd be nothing to see. That's why eventually the case was settled in exchange for this percentage of revenue. The Cubs said, you can continue to operate as long as you give us a piece of the action, which was a fine agreement, which was working great, until in 2015, the Cubs decided to further obstruct the view by putting up the right field scoreboard. And these two clubs said, well, that violates our agreement. The Cubs said it doesn't, because we're allowed to alter it as long as we follow certain rules.
Yeah.
Supreme Court agreed.
Okay.
Or didn't agree, but declined to take the case.
Can I ask you, this wasn't on your list of things to discuss, but I'm very curious about this. This mixes law with show business. When you have performers who have done things that have hurt their career and the careers of people around them, like Roseanne Barr or Bill Cosby, let's say you're a technician who works on Roseanne's show, and you think to yourself, well, I've locked into a job for the next 3, 4, or 5 years. I'm coasting now. And then she does something that alters your work situation. People have lost their jobs because of things she has said, or Bill Cosby. Could you get yourself an attorney and fix that in court if you wanted to?
Well, the good news is for me and for my peers that you can hire an attorney, of course, to do anything. The success of that would probably be limited, because it depends on your contract, right? I mean, if you have a contract that is like a pay or play contract that says that you get to recover regardless, then
I don't think the crew had that.
But generally, the crew doesn't have that.
The cast seem to, but the crew not.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the extent of your contract. But yeah, I mean, you know, to your point, it's incredibly unfortunate that all of these other people are affected when a Roseanne, you know, is fired because of her words.
Yeah.
All right, and there's a new crime. I love documentaries. I love The Making of a Murderer, and Netflix has something that you're pretty excited about.
Yeah, just on Friday, someone turned me on to The Staircase, which is on Netflix, and, you know, I binged over the weekend. I got through about 6 hours of it. Really interesting story of a 2011 murder case where this novelist named Michael Peterson was put on trial for the death of his wife. He was charged with homicide in North Carolina. His wife ended up at the bottom of the staircase in this house that they lived in together. He said that it was the result of a fall. There's actually a couple of different theories that he's put forth, which I haven't gotten to yet because I'm trying not to read too much about it. I'm trying to watch it in real time. The state said that he bludgeoned her basically with an instrument and she ended up falling down the stairs. And it's a really fascinating look at the pretrial process and the trial, very similar to Making a Murder. And it's really, really compelling stuff.
If you're going to commit a crime, you have to do what I saw either in Alfred Hitchcock or Twilight Zone. You have to kill someone, kill your husband with a frozen leg of lamb.
So that it melts?
And then you cook it and eat it, and the evidence is gone.
Evidence is gone.
Oh. I don't like lamb, otherwise I'd try it, but
There was a book years ago, I can't remember the title of it, where somebody stabbed someone and killed them with an icicle because then the murder weapon just melted away.
Yeah.
That's genius.
Ingenious. When will the brilliance ever end? But yeah, I mean, it's a really great look at a lot of criminal procedure stuff that you don't really see on the NCIs and Law and Order, you know, real life things.
And this is based on a case from when? How long
2011
ago?
2011 was was the trial when the trial began.
Yeah.
I think she died sometime in the mid-2000s.
2005.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's called The Staircase, and it's on Netflix.
I will be watching that.
All right. Thank you for telling us about that. That's Rich Lenkoff, attorney over at Bryce Downey & Lenkoff, LLC. And if people want to hear Legal Face Off, the podcast, just go to WGN Plus, and it's all right there, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you, Rich.
Thank you.
All right. A little bit of a break, and then some news, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.